Good morning, church. It is good to be here in the house of the Lord. And I want to start today with the Psalm 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It's in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Lord, we are completely dependent on you, Lord. We are completely dependent on your hand over our lives, on your grace sustaining us. And Lord, we ask you that this morning you would really, truly enable us to worship you in spirit and in truth. We ask you that you will receive the adoration of our hearts, that we will be completely focused on you, on who you are, on magnifying your holy name. So we ask you that you will lead us during this time, that your hand will be over everything that we do, the songs, the prayers, the readings, the sermon. Oh, Lord, lead us, your people, into truly encountering you. We ask in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Just wanted to do two announcements. Happy Women's Day to all the women. To Jamie and Lauren, the only roses among the thorns here this morning. Happy Women's Day to all of you ladies. We appreciate you. And I hope that you have a wonderful day. And secondly, I just wanted to remind all of you that are interested in becoming members. Our membership class is starting today at 12 o'clock. If you haven't received the Zoom password, please contact one of the pastors and we will send that to you. But we are very excited about that, so don't miss out on that.
Today's reading is from Galatians chapter 3, verses 10 to 18. For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, "Cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them." Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law. For the righteous shall live by faith. But the law is not of faith. Rather, the one who does them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree," so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. To give a human example, brothers, even with a man-made covenant, no one annuls it or adds to it once it has been ratified. Now the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring. It does not say, "and to offsprings," referring to many, but referring to one, "and to your offspring, who is Christ." This is what I mean. The law, which came 430 years afterward, does not annul a covenant previously ratified by God, so as to make the promise void. For if the inheritance comes by the law, it no longer comes by promise, but God gave it to Abraham by a promise.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our morning service. As Isaac has already said, happy Women's Day to all our women. We certainly appreciate you, and we continue to pray for you. If you are a woman, I trust that you have your identity deeply rooted in Christ. And even with all that's happening around us, that you read in the news, and probably even grow in fear with what you continue to hear and read, we continue to pray that your source of security may always be in the Lord, knowing that He's in control, and He is the sovereign God who loves and cares for you, and He who created you and He who called you is faithful. If you are joining us for the first time this morning, a special welcome to you. If you are around the Pretoria area and you'd like to know more about us, please go to our website. central.org.za, or send us an inbox on any of the platforms that you're watching us on. To our members and adherents, welcome to you. If you're watching this on YouTube or on Facebook, please send a hi in the comments. I want to know that you're there. So just take some time now to just go there and say hi. I'm here and I'm watching from wherever you're watching from, just so we know that you are there and that we can continue to pray for you. This morning, I just wanted to continue from my Bible study. As I had prepared in the Bible study, looking at pray till the Lord revives, I just felt that at the end of my previous Bible study, there was more. So when Pastor Charles had said that his 3 weeks has come and he would like to take a break, I just thought this is the perfect opportunity for me to just go one further. So this morning we find ourselves in Acts chapter 2. We find ourselves in the book of Acts chapter 2, and we'll start our reading from verse 42. Again, this is a familiar passage, a passage you've probably heard so many times, a passage you've probably even heard in a sermon recently, but I've just really felt the Lord tugging at my heart to continue to speak about this topic. And to some, you might think that I've been struck by this bug, but I just really feel that God just really wants me to remind the church about the value of the church. So please read with me Acts chapter 2, and we'll start reading from verse 42. And it reads, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, and to breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." Lord Jesus, this morning we come before you, Lord, praying that you please speak to us. We pray, Father, as we go through your word, that, Lord, your Spirit, Lord, would speak to our hearts and speak to our minds about, Lord, that which is close to your heart. Lord, we know that you love your church. We know that, God, you are building your church. And we pray, Father, that today you'd remind us of the great value of the local church. So, Father, I pray even as I preach this morning, I pray that it would be clear, Lord, that I have no agenda. But, God, I just want to preach your word. And I pray, Lord, when my sinful heart comes to interfere with that, that, Lord, your Spirit would convict me and help me exercise self-control. And help me, Lord, speak as I've been led by your Spirit. I pray, Father, that those who are listening from home, Lord, they may be discouraged by something. They're all in different seasons of their life. But I pray, Lord, that today you would encourage them. I pray, Father, that today you would bless them by your word. And I pray that you would help them to recognize and realize that, Lord, you have placed them in our fold. You've placed us in each other's lives to be actively involved in each other's lives, to encourage, to edify each other for the glory of Christ. So I pray, Lord, that you please, Lord, spare us the good works. Lord, won't you bring about a burning desire in our hearts to want to love each other? But Lord, may this stem from our love for you. For this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, as I've said, we're going to be looking at the church is more than a Sunday gathering. The title of the message this morning is "The Church is More than a Sunday Gathering." The first thing I would like us to look at is the church of Christ. And I want you to be thinking, when you go to any church, any Bible-believing church with born-again Christians, these are the different things that you are to find in that church. So the first thing that we're looking at is the church of Christ. So firstly, the church of Christ is made up of believers. If you move up to verse 36, it says, "Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So already we see that everyone who is part of the church must be a regenerate believer, must be someone who has been called by the Lord out of darkness into his marvelous light. So when you heard the gospel, you were cut at the heart when God had revealed in your own heart your sin, not in light of me, because if you compare yourself to me, you might be better than me, but in light of who he is, and he convicted you of that sin and revealed the holiness of God to you, and you repented of that sin, then you can be part of the local church. It was because of this work of the Spirit that the church in Acts became a community of people in Christ. So likewise, we here at Central are a community of people in Christ. Our common bond is our fellowship with the Father through the Son. So because of our relationship with the Father through the Son, we belong to Jesus and share a deep, meaningful, and mutual relationship with each other. Now, of course, this does not mean that in every church you go to, you will find regenerate people. Because in the church, we have those who have rejected Christ. In the church, we have those who claim to believe in Jesus, but have also are also believing in other things. We have also those who claim to believe, but there is no fruit of the Spirit's work in their lives. There is no fruit of transformation. These folk are not the church. But we still welcome them. We still want you to be a part of us. If you're watching this and you haven't believed in Jesus, if you're watching this and you haven't fully trusted in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, we say welcome. Please stay. We're praying for you. We pray that God through his Spirit would bring you to believe in him. But the truth is, you're not part of the church. The church of Christ comprises of those who have heard the gospel, were cut at the heart, at the reality of their sin against the holy God. They repented of their sins. They believed in Jesus for the redemption of their souls and are now committed to a lifelong process of sanctification. Notice, those who received his word were baptized and they were added that day about 3,000 souls. They heard the word of God, they came to faith in Christ, they got baptized, and they joined the local church. You see, we can pick up that somebody took account of how many people were part of the body. They were within the record. So my question to you is if you've been coming to Central for year after year after year, but you haven't taken up membership, you are not a member of our local church. You need to go through the process of taking membership that you too can be added to the number, that you too can be added to the number of souls. So we see here that no one who was added was not baptized, and no one who was baptized did not believe. Lauren, could you please pass me my laptop? So we see that there was a consecration of the Lord's people, and Peter here says, sorry, I seem to always have tablet problems, so my tablet is telling me that it's on its way out. So I want us to also notice that there is a consecration of the people of the Lord. Peter says to the church there, sorry, This is probably distracting. All right. So Peter says to the church there, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So what he's basically saying is have no affiliation with the world, but be connected with Christ and his body. See, the natural progression of any believer must be that you come to faith in Christ, you believe in him, you get baptized, and you join a local church. So today, I want to urge you, if you believe and you have not been baptized, my question to you is, what are you waiting for? If you believe and you're not under the authority, you're not under the accountability of the local church, my question to you this morning is, why not? The opportunity is still available. If you are listening to this message and you are saying, man, I've been putting off being added to the number, I would like to encourage you, after this message, please send Isaac, Pastor Charles, send me a message and join our membership classes. But not only was the church made up of those who believed, but it was also made up of those who were devoted to the apostles' teachings. If you read through the book of Acts, you'll notice that the apostles desired nothing else but to preach Christ. They bore witness of the resurrection of Jesus. They shared about the sinful condition of man. In fact, in Acts chapter 4, we read Peter saying, it is this Jesus whom you crucified. They also went on to call people to repent and believe in Jesus that they may be saved. But this also came at a cost. John and Peter, when they shared the gospel, right within this conversation in Acts chapter 2, they were thrown into prison. And when they were released from prison, we read in Acts chapter 5 that when the Sanhedrin called the apostles in, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Then the verse continues to say that they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And then what did they do? Every day, in the temple where the people gathered, after the people have gathered, they went house to house, home to home. They did not cease teaching and preaching that Christ is Jesus. Folks, it is the responsibility of every Christian to hide themselves in the truths of Scripture. The new believers in the early church immediately devoted themselves to the teachings of the apostles. Jesus himself said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our abode with him. Friends, it's only those who devote themselves to the word of God with It's only those who will be pursuing and loving Jesus, those who have devoted themselves to God's word, are those who are going to love God and are those who are going to love his church. Any church or believer that doesn't have the Bible as central to life will never value the church of Christ as he did. Read Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 to 27. It says, Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. If you want to know how much did Christ love the church, he loved the church so much that he gave his life up for the church. Why? That he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy without blemish. Jesus loves the church. And if you love him, if you love his word, then you will too love his church. Who comprises his church? His church is comprised of believers, the people in the church, not the building. So if you study the scriptures, you'll see that Jesus is the beloved son. and as people who were created in him, redeemed by him, united to him, given to him, finding our identity in him, Christ is beloved, and in him the church is beloved too. Oh, that we would love his word. Or that we would be counted as a church that is devoted to the scriptures, that it may mold our thinking and mold our lives. Because if we can get that right, then we'll see the next point is we'll be able to fellowship with one another. Verse 44 says, "And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributed the proceeds to all as any had need." We read in this passage that these people had all things in common. My immediate question was, how is it possible that 3,000 people don't have some things, but they have all things in common? I always say this when I'm speaking to the students. The reality is that when you are in Christ, we have more in common than we do with anyone else in the world. If I have a best friend who is of the world and I have a friend who is a Christian, I have more in common with my friend who is a Christian than even with my best friend in the world. I have more in common even with my brother if he doesn't believe in Jesus. I have more in common with my brother in Christ than I will in my brother in the flesh. Our unity in the church stems from a deep and eternal connection that we have to the triune God. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 16 says, "From him the whole body," whole body of believers, "are joined together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." Everyone who is in Christ has his identity changed and is given to him by Christ. If you are a believer, you are a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. In this, it means that man, whether you are French, whether you are Zulu, Tswana, English, Afrikaans, whether you are Spitori, whether you are Congolese, South African, Brazilian, whether you are black, white, colored, Indian, Asian, man, we have all things in common because we are all in Christ. So what is the basis of our fellowship? What is the common ground that ties us together? It's not emotional. It's not denominational. It's not societal. It's not cultural. It's not racial. It's not ecumenical. It's not human. It's not experiential. It is spiritual and it is divine. See, you choose your friends because their ideas and styles and probably even personalities similar to your own. But God puts different people in the congregation so that you can learn from them, so that we can learn from each other. The truth is, there are people that I wouldn't naturally be drawn to in the local church. But I've seen myself build great relationships with them because what we share together far surpasses the superficial. What we share together is Christ and his Spirit. The Greek word used for fellowship here is the word koinonia, which means in common. So as we have all things in common, we have a spiritual togetherness. So in our fellowship, we come together in a spiritual partnership. Friends, the church is more than a Sunday event. You are not in the stands at Loftus hoping that your church is going to win on the field, and whilst it's winning for you on the field, it's entertaining you in the process. You are the one who's on the field. You must be on the one who is fighting hard, who is getting hurt, who is getting tired, who is trusting in your fellow teammates, listening to the instructions of the coach. Oh, Centralites, let us get our hands dirty. Get off the stands and get onto the field. Let us again work together as a local body. The local church, by definition, is a group of Christians who regularly gather in Christ's name to officially affirm and oversee one another's membership in Jesus Christ and his kingdom through gospel preaching and gospel ordinances. That's by Jonathan Lehman. So this is a partnership of believers who have endeavored and purposed to live out their lives in the practical practicing fellowship. If you read in Hebrews chapter 10, Pastor Charles expounded on this, but it says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope. That is, in Christ, our sins have been forgiven, our hearts have been sprinkled clean, and we now have access into the presence of God. Let's hold fast to that, so that our hope will not waver. For he who has promised is faithful. Verse 24 says, then let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works. Verse 24 is actually saying we need to be practically thinking about different ways on how can you stir me, Jabu, up to good works and to love. Constantly thinking, man, how can I today be stirring my brother up to love and good works? That is our duty. It's our responsibility. That is my role in your life. That is your role in my life. So ask yourself the question, when was the last time I considered how to stir my brother in Christ up to love and good works? In order to do this, you must be present. Verse 25 says, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, all the more as you see the day drawing near. Folks, I want to emphasize this today. True godly fellowship is a means to the perseverance of the saints. I need us to hear this today, that we need each other. I need you. You need me. I need you to rebuke me. You need me to rebuke you, to encourage you, to encourage me, exhort each other. Man, I need you to be there in my life as I strive to look more and more like Christ. I remember a preacher once saying, sometimes exhortation is, Christ is better and he is infinitely better. Other times, or even at the same time, the exhortation is, if you leave Christ, you will be destroyed. You see, we need to be compassionate with one another, but never at the expense of truth. For true biblical compassion is coupled with truth. So it is in this partnership, in this fellowship, where we are to use our God-given gifts to build one another up. It is only when you think about the biblical expectation to be in each other's lives, you then start to realize that, man, this is not possible if you're not truly converted. This is not possible if your mind has not been renewed, if your worldview has not been changed, then you will not be able to love one another. You will not be able to be devoted, to honor, to live in harmony with one another, to build each other up, to be like-minded, accept one another, admonish one another, care for one another, serve one another, bear with one another, forgive with one another. Consider others better than yourself. Look to the interest of others. Bear with one another. Teach one another. Comfort one another. Encourage one another. Show hospitality to one another. Clothe yourselves with humility towards one another. Pray for one another. Confess your faults to one another. And so on and so on. You will never be able to do that if your mind has not been transformed by Christ. That list is extensive. But it requires you to daily die to yourself. No person living in sin can think of their neighbor more highly than themselves, or even sought to love them with the love of Christ. The truth is, we can create programs. We can even hire a pastor to run a one another ministry, which probably wouldn't be a bad thing. But the truth is, these things will not produce the fellowship that we are seeing here in Acts. This sort of fellowship was a fellowship that was brought about by a people who were moved by the Spirit. Folks, we are called by God in the book of Ephesians to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Man, the church in Acts, these were folks who were in awe of who God is. They had the engine that Pastor Charles introduced at our Wednesday Bible study. They had the fear of God. Without a fear or love for God, the truth is we will lie to one another. We will pass judgment to one another. We will keep biting and devouring each other. We will become conceited, provoking, and envying one another. We will slander one another. We will grumble against one another. We will show partiality and prejudice to each other because you do not love God. As Christians, we share in a deep, eternal, mutual bond with each other through Jesus Christ. This relationship that we have with others must be deeply affectionate. Far beyond any relationship we can have with people in the world. In fact, Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote in his book, "The physical presence of other Christians is a source of incomparable joy and strength to the believer, a physical sign of the gracious presence of the triune God. How inexhaustible are the riches that open up for those who by God's will are privileged to live in the daily fellowship of life with other Christians." He wrote, "Let him who has such a privilege thank God on his knees and declare it is grace and nothing but grace that we are allowed to live in fellowship with Christians. God has placed us in each other's lives to help us persevere the afflictions of this age." Notice the early church. They were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day they were attending the temple together. And they were breaking bread in their homes, and they received their food with glad and generous hearts. Friends, this was not done under compulsion. The apostles did not go to the folks at Acts and say, "You need to sell your houses and help those who are in need." The Spirit was working in the hearts of these individuals. The Spirit was working in the hearts of the church here. As they saw a brother or a sister in need, man, they sought to meet that need. They were looking forward to meeting physically in the temple. They went even further than the temple. They met in each other's homes and they shared a meal. This was natural because it clicked. But man, we family. And that's what family does. Another preacher said, they were not only sharing spiritual life in Christ, not only spiritual power, but they expressed their partnership in fellowship, and it came down to the fact that there was an overwhelming unselfishness. He went on to say that the radical fellowship in Acts chapter 2 was antidote for the suicide of materialism committed by the rich man who built bigger and bigger barns and lost his soul in the parable of Lazarus. See, the church is a living organism. We are connected by the life granted to us by God. The church is essential to who we are. The truth is, we don't go around looking for community, because that's not what we are to be aiming for. Christ is what we are to be aiming for. And man, when he finds us, naturally community will flow. For community is the fruit of Christ exalting worship. Benson shares in his commentary, the unity of the church is defined by the message of the church, not the feeling of fellowship that we have. Folks, we are spiritually connected. We are designed to share in each other's lives, to share in love, purpose, ministry, truth, and power. Man, that is fellowship. The truth is, we can go and try to take all the friends that we have who are Christian and try to build a church for ourselves like a football fantasy team and pick the perfect coach or pastor who's going to lead this church. And we might think, man, this will be the best community we've ever had. We'll be lying. Because the truth is, God has placed all the different people in the church, even those who sometimes hurt and offend us, God has placed them in the church for your sanctification. My friend, that is grace. He has placed us in each other's lives to edify each other for the kingdom of Christ. But friends, that was only possible because the church was redeemed. It was dedicated to the apostles' teachings. They were devoted to fellowship. And next we'll notice that they were devoted to prayer. I cannot say this enough, but a growing church is a praying church. Tozer said, prayer is not a work that can be allocated to one or another group in the church. It is everybody's responsibility. It is everyone's privilege. Prayer is the respiratory function of the church. Without it, we suffocate and die at last, like a living body deprived of the breath of life. The church in Acts was a church that was devoted to prayer. Prayer was the natural response of this church. If you continue reading in chapter 3 and chapter 4, you'll note that the church even came together and they even prayed for boldness, that they too would go out and share the gospel. They prayed for the apostles, that they too would have the boldness as they go out and share the gospel. They knew that they needed God. They were dependent on God if they wanted to fulfill his will here on earth. So the church did not just observe as people came to Christ. The church did not just observe as people were baptized, but the church also enjoyed fellowship around the Lord's table. We note that there's a definite article there where it says that they were devoted to the breaking of bread and the prayers. So MacArthur notes that communion visualizes our fellowship. Christ is the head and we are his members, all equally redeemed by him. We all share in his life. We all are sustained by that life. The table humbles us. The table humbles us. The table levels us. The Lord's table calls us to examine ourselves. As Paul says, don't come unless you examine yourselves. So when we look at the church ordinances, to be baptized is to identify ourselves with the Father, with the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as well as to identify our union with Christ's death and resurrection. To receive the Lord's table is to proclaim his death and our membership in his body. Oh, I cannot wait. I cannot wait for the day where we will gather again physically around the Lord's table and enjoy fellowship as we remember the Lord's death till he comes. Second thing I want us to look at is the character of the church as we come to a close. The character of the church. We notice it says that, "And awe came upon every soul, and praising God and having favor with all people." The church here in Acts was awestruck at the signs and wonders that the apostles performed and the words they spoke that revealed the power in which they acted. These were people who had worship as a core part of their lives. And as a result, they grew in favor with God and they grew in favor with man. The truth is, one of the fruits of a healthy church is its reach to its community. It is imperative that we ask ourselves as a church, how are we doing in reaching our community? It is the responsibility of every Christian, every individual Christian, to share the gospel and to make disciples. Therefore, we all must ask ourselves daily if we can do more to share the gospel with those in our community. You best believe that God is going to build his church. But you also need to know that he wants to use you. Our church will grow as we grow in our fear for him, as we remain faithful to our calling, as we obey the Great Commission and we go and start hitting the schools and the complexes and our neighbors, the malls, the clinics, the petrol attendants, those on IX Street, those on Francis Bard. Man, I pray that we grow in a desire that the church at Central, whether over here in the East or whether in the Central, would reach its community with the gospel of Christ. But I also want to encourage us. I don't just want to exhort us to do more, but I also want to encourage us that things are being done. As I take time and examine what's happening at Central, I remember that we do have members in our church who have faithfully contributed to help in the mercy ministry. They have given far above and beyond what we have asked, and we thank them for that. We praise God for them. We have people in our local church who have been visiting each other in each other's homes. Well, obviously not during lockdown. We have groups of people who have been calling and they would visit people who were grieving the loss of loved ones. And they would mourn with those who mourn. We've had members in our church helping other members in their times of need. Members offering members jobs. Members appointing members to the right direction. Members helping financially. Man, the church has been involved. We've had Bible studies financially contributing to help homeless families. We've had women in the church come together and throw bridal showers, baby showers. We've had nappy brides for the gents and even bachelor parties for the gents. Man, we've seen the church come together and be involved in each other's life. Man, there's something beautiful happening at Central. But I want to encourage us today that even in this pandemic, even when social distancing is becoming a norm, that we don't lose sight of the fact that, man, we need each other. There's a sad reality that there are many believing Christians who right now are saying, man, maybe this way of doing church is the best way of doing church. I want to make it clear today that God did not intend this to be the norm. I'm pleading with you today. Pray. Pray that the time is going to come when we can again meet physically. Pray. Church is not just a Sunday gathering. The church is not just a group of strangers who meet in a building and sing songs and listen to a sermon. The church are your family that God has given to you. So a central part of your love for God is your love for his people. It's our highest privilege to gather with his people before the face of God. Pray. Pray that we can once again fill the two sanctuaries here at the hill and back at Arcadia. Long for it. Look forward to it. Pray that it may come soon. For friends, fellowship is vital to the church. So to close, in the church we must work to encourage one another to holiness, to show affection for one another, to bear one another's sins, to be patient with each other, to encourage one another's gifts, and to join together in the cause of the gospel. It is also the truth that on this side of heaven there is no perfect church. But good churches are those that preach the gospel. They are devoted to the word of God. They are faithful in carrying out its ordinances, and they are faithful in fellowship. Please pray for your church faithfully. Pray for Central daily. Even when you realize some of our weaknesses here at Central, I want to encourage you, pray that we would grow even in those parts. Because the truth is, churches fall short. So pray that your church would be so filled with the Spirit of God and the love for Christ would overflow into personal relationships within the church. But maybe as you listen to this, maybe you've been burnt by a church or by our church before. I want you to know today that God knows what it's like to be ignored. He knows what it's like to feel abandoned. He knows what it's like to feel overlooked. He knows what it's like to be reviled. He knows what it's like to be offended. Fallen humans are innately disappointing. The church is filled with sinful people, all seeking to grow in this process of sanctification. But even as fallen humans are innately disappointing, friends, only Jesus is perfectly fulfilling. So let your seasons of loneliness, let your seasons of disappointment, let your seasons of discouragement point you to his sufficiency. So I plead with you this morning, commit to Christ as he builds his church. I plead with you this morning, you cannot live the Christian life outside of the fellowship of his church. He loves his church. Exhort one another every day, as long as it's called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. So Lord Jesus, we come before you this morning. Lord, I know that this is a topic that's really close to your heart. And Lord, there's so much more that I could have said, but Lord, I pray that the point is clear. I pray, God, that the point is clear that as believers, Lord, we are bound together by Christ. Oh, Lord, I pray that as believers, we would recognize that Lord, those who believe in Jesus, those who are part of the local church, are not just mere strangers. They are my family. So, Lord, let us endeavor to be involved in each other's lives. Help us, Lord. Help us not to distance ourselves, Lord, from the people of the church. And Lord, I even do, this time I want to pray, Lord, I want to pray for those who've been discouraged, those who've been hurt before in the church. Father, I pray that by your Spirit, Lord, you would bring about a healing. And I also do pray that you give them the boldness, Lord, to even approach the person who may have sinned against them, Lord, that they may come together and the sin may be revealed, Lord, and they may commit the sin to you and repentance may take place, Lord, and reconciliation may take place and we may just see sweet, sweet fellowship in the local church again. But Lord, this is impossible if we don't have Jesus as the center. Lord, this is impossible if we ourselves are not devoted to your word. Lord, this is going to be impossible, Lord, if we do not love you, if we don't have a fear for you. Help us, Lord, to love you. And God, we know from your word that if we say that we love you, if we grow in our love for you, it will manifest itself in our love for your people. So I do pray for the church at Central. I pray, God, that you continue to grow us. I pray that you continue to groom us. I pray you continue to add to our number. I pray, Lord, that the church here at the Hill would be a good reflection of Christ to his community. I pray that the church over in Arcadia will be a good reflection of Christ to its community. I pray, Lord, that Central Baptist Church would be the aroma of Christ to this dying world. Oh Lord, may your gospel reign in our hearts. May our lives be transformed by your spirit and by your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
I think sometimes, I personally, now that we are doing this here, and there is not many people around, and there's cameras and the lights, and there needs to be precision, and it can feel sometimes for me that, okay, this is almost as a performance, but it's not, as we were reminded of this today. And if we were here today, I was prompted, I would have asked you to pray. And I know this is just a prompting that I feel, and we can edit the video later. But I would like to ask us right now, and even you at home, we're going to stop for a second. Even the streaming can go on, but we're going to pray for one another. I want to pray, and even beyond that, I want to encourage you that after the service, that you WhatsApp a member of the church and encourage and ask how they're doing. And I feel that this message demands a response. And I would like us to right now spend some time in prayer, and then we're going to end off with a song. But right now, where you are at your home, and even those that are here, we're going to pray for one another and pray for our church. And Lord, bless you. May you be a source of encouragement to one another. I do encourage you to send a message or call someone and let us encourage one another this time. God bless you.